Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. God is good. Amen. All the time and all the time, God is good. Last week, I was trying to remember, I was saying the older church people say, don't get caught with your work undone. That's what it was. Have you heard them say that before that? Don't get caught with your work undone. And that was with the series God and Goals, the last time I preached. I was like, what is that saying, that phrase? You ever hear something in your head and you just, it's just there, but you're like, how do you, you know, what is the actual phrase? That's what I was dealing with for the last couple of weeks. Like, man, I got to make sure I know what that was. Amen. But we thank God for what God is doing. We thank God for Brother Tamron preaching last week. Amen. Give him a hand again. I will be uploading that, his sermon, shortly on the video as well. Keep me in prayer, because sometimes that video stuff, it gets if you miss a week, it can get caught. You get caught quick, and it takes up a lot of space. So it's like, oh man, I gotta export one and get the other one up. Amen. But I'm going to pray, and we're going to get started on the word God has placed in my heart today. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for the opportunity to share your word amongst your people, dear God, here today. And I pray to God that your word will enlighten, would strengthen, would build, would give us a clear focus on what you've called us to do. So, God, I pray to God today that you be glorified in all that we say and do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Say amen and turn to your neighbor and say, aren't you glad you are here? Some of you guys are like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Ask them again with some excitement in your voice. Aren't you glad you are here? Amen. I was talking to a couple people today about just the body of Christ and the church and everything like that. And, you know, there's a lot of people that I haven't been at church in a long time. And one of the things I tell them is you're stronger when you got numbers with you. Right. There's strength in numbers. That's one of the Warriors. If you people don't know what the Warriors are, the NBA Warriors team, every team, when the playoffs comes, they have a slogan that they put on their warm up shirts. And the Warriors slogan is strength in numbers. And you'll see other teams, they got different phrases and stuff like that. But it's important that we always understand that we are stronger together. Amen. The enemy wants to put you and leave you separated so you think that there is nobody with you. But guess what? Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Amen. And also he has placed people around you. See, check this out. It's funny because Elijah thought he was the only one. And this ain't even my message, but hey, we're going to get into it. Elijah was like, God, I'm the only one serving you. There is nobody else. And God said, hold up. I got a remnant. Amen. I got a whole bunch of prophets that have not bowed the knee to Baal, or in this sense to the ways of the world. They are still ready for you to lead them. And we have to be obedient and know that God has more. Amen. Not only that happened with Elijah, that also happened with Elisha and his servant when the army came up to him and they said, his servant said, they're going to kill us. We don't have, it's just me and you. And God said, open his eyes so he could see that there is more with us than there is in this army. Amen. Because the angels, and God opened the servant's eyes so we could see the angels that were surrounding them. And guess what happened? They led that whole army bound to the king. Amen. Because God is faithful. Somebody say God is faithful. I don't know why I said that, but somebody got to remember that he is faithful. Amen. So since God is faithful, this is the sermon that I'm going to preach on today. We have to make sure that we don't lose sight of the mission. Okay. We have to make sure we do not lose sight of the mission, because there are many things that are going to come. I just get reminded of Peter while I am up here. While Peter was walking on the water, he lost sight of the mission and he began to sink. Amen. And some people like, what? Water walking Peter. And I think we saw one of the kids were watching one of the cartoons this week, one of the Christian cartoons. And Peter was walking on the water, and Jesus said in the cartoon, What are you thinking about? Why did you doubt? You're already walking. But he lost sight of the mission. See, it was interesting, because he got on the water to go to Jesus. But while he was going to Jesus, he said, oh, wait, look, I'm walking on the water. This is what am I doing? Right? Instead of keeping his eyes on Jesus, he lost, like Obed said, his focus. Amen. So tell your neighbor, don't lose sight of the mission. What is the mission is the question then, right? Many of us ask that question many times in our walk with God. What are we here for? What is the purpose? We talked about God and goals. Tamron talked about, what was the actual title of yours? Gifts and Callings. I knew how to see in it. Gifts and Callings. And now we're talking about the mission, but without. The mission, all of the stuff that we have is fluff. See, this is the dangerous thing. You can have goals, but you might not be on God's goals, right? You can have gifts and callings, but if you don't accept the calling of God, you will be going nowhere. Amen? This morning, I had the opportunity to serve and worship with Victorious Life Christian Center. They needed a drummer. And they had a conference, and I'll talk a little bit more about that conference later. But in this conference, one of the ministers that were opening up said, he said he tried everything. He had all these goals, and he was like, God, I just want to get to these goals, God. If we can make everything, look, I'm going to serve you, but if we could just get to, I just want these things to happen. Lord, if we could just make these things happen, I'll be cool, God. And then he said, as time went on, he realized he had to quit his goals because they were in conflict with what God had said. So he had to surrender. Somebody say surrender. See, it's very important that we surrender. That's the only way you can come to Christ. You have to surrender. And there's many things that we must be surrender of. Our ways, our plans, our thoughts. We have to surrender them to God because the Bible says his thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen. So we have to surrender ours so we can make sure we're on point with what he has. Amen. We have to surrender many things, but most importantly, he wants you to surrender your heart. Amen. So what's the mission? Matthew 28:16-20. We know this as the passage entitled The Great Commission, but it helps us understand the direction what we are supposed to do after we become saved. Amen. Now, I'm going to say this, and I said this when I was talking about God and goals. Many people get saved and they just try to get comfortable and say, God, thank you for saving me. Now come and get me. Right. Come get me out. Just take me with you, Lord. And some people, young people laugh about that. But that's the way some people are. They're like, God, I'm saved now. Now just make sure nothing bad happens to me. And I just want to get to you. And that's it. What's the goal? Oh, that's it. I just want to make it to heaven. And, they even make it sound spiritual. I just want to make it in. But there is something that God wants to do in you. And that is going to cause surrender. Prayer, your time in prayer really is you surrendering and saying, God, I don't know it all. Right? That's what prayer is. Prayer is saying, God, I need your guidance because I can't do this by myself. I got all these things coming up and I need to figure out what do you want me to do. All right. So whenever I preach, I have to spend some time. It always varies. Sometimes it can be 5 minutes. Sometimes it'll be 5 days. I'm like, God, what do you want me to speak on? Right? And I would just sit there, and there's different things that the great thing about God is he will confirm. Amen. So even when you're on your mission, he's going to confirm some things to you. right? He's going to confirm. But when you're praying, he'll confirm something in your spirit. And then you might be like, okay, God, well, okay, cool. I hear that in my spirit, but I need another confirmation, God. So give me another confirmation. And there's nothing wrong with that, because you're seeking his will for your life. Amen. Some of us got to get to that place so we can get to that mission. All right. Matthew 28:16-20. I'm going to read this. And I got three passages that we're going to read today. And that will be it for today. But we're talking about don't lose sight of the mission. And you got it for me? Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. All right, here it goes. And we're going to keep on going all the way through verse 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountaintop which Jesus had appointed for them. All right? Now, I'm going to just say something about that scripture already. There is things that God is going to tell you and places he's going to tell you to go, but he's not going to give you the full thing yet. But he wants to see if you're obedient. Amen? How do I know that? Because he did that with Abraham. Abraham, get up, leave this land. Right? Get up, leave this land. I'm going to take you somewhere. All right? So while Abraham is on the way, that's when he had questions. But because of his obedience, come on, somebody get that with me. Because of his obedience, God was able to do something in Abraham's life. Amen? Oh, but let's say, oh, what about Moses? Well, Moses was told to go somewhere or to go to do something. Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And while he went, because of his obedience, God was able to meet him and do above his expectations because of his obedience. So even in that scripture, the disciples were obedient to go somewhere where God told them to go, or where Jesus clearly told them to go. Amen. Let's go. Verse 17. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, that's interesting, too. See, even while we are in church and everybody wants it to be all peaceful and God is good, there's still some people that doubt while you worship. So really what that shows me is there's a war in the spirit for your mind. Because worship is, I release my mind. I release it. I say that you're the greatest. When you're doubting, you still have to, Jesus still has to come through your thoughts. I still got to figure this thing out. Okay, I don't get it. And let's be real, we've all doubted. But the great thing about God is if you say, God, reveal yourself, he will. I've heard too many stories of people saying, God, reveal yourself to me, and God gives them dreams. Or God just brings somebody else to them because they were willing to meet God. They were saying, God, this everything, I don't have it all right now. I need you to reveal yourself. If you're real, show me. And guess what? He is real. I know that he's real. Amen? All right, let's keep on going. Verse 19 and 20. And then it says, go therefore. So even amongst those that are worshiping and those that are doubting, God still gives a command to those that are his people. He says, go. Somebody say, go. This is the mission. See, some of us get consumed with staying. God, I got you, so let me just stay here. Let me just stay in your presence. And that's good, but he wants you to get that download and go. Amen. You ever had a car? How many of us got cars? Okay. Or a vehicle. Now, let's say you get all the gas you can put in that vehicle, but you never go anywhere. How good is that car? It's not worth that much, right? Because you're not using it for the purpose that it was made for, right? I'm reading a book right now. It's called Accuracy by Sharp Skills. He wrote this book. It's called something about accuracy. And in this book, he talks about somebody that bought a $1,000 chair and they also bought a $30 chair. And that $1,000 chair it looked great, but anytime somebody sat in that $1,000 chair, it couldn't hold the weight. So it kept breaking. It wasn't doing what it was created for, but that $30 chair, it worked. It held people up, right? So he says, if that $1,000 chair, even though it was paid for with $1,000, doesn't actually do what it's supposed to do, which is pretty much hold you up when you sit down in this chair, then what good is it worth? What is it really worth? What is the value? Right? So I'm saying this to say that if we as believers just stay and don't go, we miss the value that God has placed in us. Amen. If I hold this truth, if I hold, oh, God is good, and I got all of this, and I watch these kids sometimes, and they will try to get all their toys, right? But they don't play with them. And I'm like, what are you doing? And they just basically trying to keep the other kids from playing with the other. And I'm like, that's not how it works. You're supposed to play with the toy. So I'd be like, okay, give me these toys. Now you play with this one and you play with this one. And the other kids, they start looking at the other kids' toys. And I'm like, listen, this is not working. Can't do that. But that's what we do. We hold, oh, God is good. Got it. Cool. God is great. I've accepted him. I know that this is the thing that will set people free, but I'm just going to hold it. I'm going to stay and not go. But his command was to go, therefore, to all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Right? Verse 20. And it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is what God has commissioned us to do. He has commissioned us to go share who he is and teach his ways. The way that the church can still be efficient in today's system is to still go. Amen. We must go. Somebody tell your neighbor, you got to go. Not like that. I don't mean it like that. Not like you have to get out of here. But I'm saying you have to go and share what you already have. Amen. And here's some of the excuses. Well, I don't know enough. Right? How many have said that before? I'm not a pastor. Did you know that pastors are not the only ones that can lead people to Christ? Come on, somebody. I've led people to Christ even in my young age. I remember at around 15. Actually, I had to at least be 16. Michael did it with me, too. Me, Michael, and Marcel, we went out in Columbia City. We like 16, 17 years old. Right. And we would just go out there and do street ministry. Sometimes we did it with the church, with pastors, and sometimes we just went and did it on our own. And there was people that gave their lives to Christ. And we weren't pastors at that time. Amen. But that we understood the call. We understood the importance of the gospel. Check it out. You might not have the power, but the gospel still has the power. That's why people that are not even saved can share the gospel and there could still be power working and transferring to people. Amen. Because the gospel, the Bible says it is foolish to those who don't understand. But for those that do know, it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. So it's important that we go. Somebody say go. That's the mission. We must go. Isaiah 61 is a very powerful chapter. As I was praying and I just was sitting and being still and God put this in my spirit. Isaiah 61 is really a mandate for believers. When you look at this chapter, it shows you what your life should be all about. Amen. So let's go ahead and pull it up. Isaiah 61. Is there like a New King James Version Bible over there somewhere too? So I can have it. Okay, well, anyway. All right, well, here we go. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. All right? How do you get the Spirit of the Lord upon you? By accepting him. Amen? Amen? I need some people in this Pentecostal church to say something. Hallelujah. It says, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Now, let's be clear about this poor word. Does this just mean people without money? No. But when you don't have Christ, you are poor in spirit. Amen. So we are to preach the gospel to the poor, both literally the people that don't have and those that are poor in spirit. Because let me tell you something. Many times the people that don't have know they need something. You guys ever caught that? Somebody that doesn't have something will willingly admit they need. People that have so much, like, I don't think I need that. Right? You ever tried to give a car to somebody that had five cars? I there's nowhere for me to put it. You know, it could be a nice car. No thanks. But if somebody doesn't have a car and they've been walking everywhere and you say, I am going to give you a car, they might jump up like the people on the TV show when they win $5,000, right? They're going out of their head, and I'd be like, man, that's only $5,000. When you think about it, it's not a lot, but they going crazy like they just want a million. Because those that don't have, they will admit they need. Amen? So let me keep on going. It says, he has sent me not only to preach, but to heal the brokenhearted. Somebody say, heal the brokenhearted. This is part of the mission, to go to share the gospel, the good news with the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Then he also said to proclaim liberty. Somebody say liberty. What is liberty? Freedom. Freedom to the captives and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound. So when I even look at just the first verse, there is so much in the mission that he has given us. But it all starts with go. Amen. I'm going to keep reading that there. Go ahead and put verse 2 up, but just hold it there for me. While I was at this conference today, one of the guys, he was a leader. I don't remember what his name is. He actually is one of the leaders of Focus, Focus on the Family or something like that, Family Focus. He has a show that's on 105.3, the Spirit Network, and all those kind of things. His name was Wade Phillips, actually. And he preached about us making sure that we are not so consumed with ourselves that we don't see what's going on around us. And what he said was one of the biggest things is he said he would drive throughout his city. This is when he had a church in Auburn. And he would just see the pulse of the city, see the different things that were going on. And he said, how can we help them? He was moved with compassion. And he said, if we are not moved with compassion for those that are around us, we're missing the point of why Jesus brought us here. There's so many times in the Word of God that you see Jesus was around and it says he stopped because he was moved by compassion. There's nothing worse to see somebody just bleeding, and you have a Band-Aid, and you're like, I'm not going to help them. Right? I mean, come on, let's be real. If you got hurt and an ambulance came and they're like, I can't help you. Right? He might have a concussion, but we're not going to test him. I don't want to. That's what we do as a church sometimes when we don't allow compassion to lead us because we're focused on, realistically, ourselves. And I'm going to be honest. There's many times that we've all failed at this. Come on, right? We drive by people and, hopefully that something helps. You know, hopefully God just keep them safe. Yeah. The Bible talks about it. It says if you just pray about somebody and you can actually help them and you don't help them, that's not the gospel. So we have to make sure in our going that we do not be so consumed with, I would love to make $1 million. Or I got to get to my job, right? Let me keep my job. Let me what do they say? All mine and I'll be fine, right? My four and no more, right? You know all these things people say. They try to come up with different ways to just worry about what they have, their toys. They back with their toys, trying to hold on to them. So, the funny thing is, like, that's what grown-ups really do. I got this house. Let me put security on it so nobody messes with it. It's a big house. It's just me, though, and I don't really want everybody coming in. So let me, I got this car right here. Let me put this, okay, look, I got this brand new, you know, I mean, we just keep hoarding different things. Missing the fact that that has no weight in eternity. Now, I love nice cars. I love nice houses. But I can't love it to the fact that it changes my mindset about what God has called me to do. Right? I can't chase those things and not chase God. I have to chase God with all my heart. Amen? So it says, it told us to go. Then it says, also, we should to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. These are different things that we are sent to do. Keep on going. It says to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, Michael came in here with a garment of praise today. I didn't know how he was going to respond. I've called him. I texted him a couple times this week just to make sure he was all right. Amen. Told him I love him, and I really do love you, Michael. But it's very important that we understand our mission is to put the garment of praise when other people have a spirit of heaviness. That's really what, hey, when that kind of stuff happens, that boggles people's minds. When they be like, man, you were here with us. What's up? Man, I'm just thankful that God kept me. I'm just thankful. They're like, what? Aren't you going to go off on that person? Did you see what he? No, God is good. I got a garment of praise. Look, God is good. I just thank God. Have you ever seen somebody in the middle of a storm? And I know the news don't really carry this kind of stuff. But they praying and expecting that storm to turn. And when it does, they start praising God. And they say, hey, the news people, hey, we saw you were praying. And I don't know if they sound like that. But anyway, they come. You were praying against the storm. Can you please tell us what happened? And they just, I just want to give glory to God. And it's just somebody that stood on their faith and used that platform to go share how good God is. Amen. It says that they, after we put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. What does that mean, trees of righteousness? That means we're planted. When I think of a tree is not something that usually is not deep in the ground. A lot of trees got to go deep to get big. That tree out there, it ain't just, it just not, let's say this is under the ground. It just didn't start here. It started with the roots. It's deep. And those roots have to be strong so that it will stand. Amen. We have to be strong so that they say those are the trees of righteousness. Not righteousness in our own sense, not righteousness in our own works, but righteous in the works of, because we've accepted Christ. Amen. And then it says, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Okay, so we are called to go, but even while we go, we are called to be beacons that change those that are around us because of our stance. This is the mission. The way that you stand for God says a lot. Okay, especially amongst persecution. Especially when it's not popular. Right? Come on, man, let's be real. The more we continue to see the world go the world the way that it is going, the more we're going to see people either rise and stand or people fall away. Right? The Bible even says there's going to be a great falling away. Because there's going to be something that tests. When there is something that tests, you're going to find out if it's right or wrong. Right? And not only that, many people run from tests. Right? I know Obed and my brother here. What's your name one more time? Huntington. Right? I know they're both in school. Now, if you could run from some tests, you might run from them, right? But guess what? You're not going to graduate. So the test is going to find out if you can stand the test of time. And as you stand the test of time, it's going to either be a witness to those that are around you, or it's going to be a hindrance. Amen? Don't you want to be a witness? Yes, we do. To show forth the praises of God. Amen? But I want you guys to read the rest of that chapter, Isaiah 61, okay? Go ahead and read that. Also, one thing, I was playing basketball this week. I didn't get to play in the men's league I normally play in. So I went to the LA Fitness, and we was playing one-on-one with this one guy. And he's left-handed, kind of like Tamron, but this guy can shoot. You know what I mean? He could. You're left-handed. That's all. That helps me when I play. When I play left-handed people, I have to remember they're left-handed, okay? Because they shoot differently, right? Anyway, so he was killing people before I got there, and I'm like, man, he's not that. You know, come on, man. And I ain't even saying that. But listen, so I'm playing him. He gets up early, 3-0, and I'm like, okay, we're going to 11. So then I get the ball, and then we tied up 5-5. This is the first game. Then after that, he started hitting, like, deep threes. Like, they're ridiculous. So he hit 3 threes, the game's over, 11-5. I'm like, golly. So I'm talking to some other guys on the side, and he's like, man, I just want to block him once. I said, what? I want to beat him, right? So the next game I get in, he starts off hot again, 3-0, and I was like, I'm not finna lose like that again. Right? So I get the ball, I'm up 5-3, right? Then I'm up by towards the end of the game, I was up 10-8. And I was like, oh, and he's talking trash, like, oh, you missed this, it's over. I'm like, whatever, man. Whatever. So I'm like, I go in, I try to do this move to get around him, and I miss the layup. Then he hits 2 threes again and wins the game, right? And I got some blocks in and all that. But one thing I noticed about him when he played, and this is the part I want us to get to, he would try to just do these moves slowly just to see what you're going to do, right? And he's not even doing nothing. He just playing with you, luring you to see where you're going to go. And that's what the enemy does. See, he don't come and just hit you. He just slowly, let's see, how can I get that person off? Let's try this again. All right, we were watching a movie last night about this this man. He was a playwright, and he was a critic about every movie or every play. And, you know, he was a critic because he wrote a play, and it did not go well. So it really changed his mindset. So he just started just hounding everybody else that did him. And at the end of the movie, one of the guys was like, I'm glad that you said that. I don't even want to be a playwright no more. And he was like, no, that's not what I meant to do. But because he was so overbearing with his, criticisms, people were like, I don't want to do it. But in this movie, this lady, she kept trying to be around him. So she'd be like, oh, yeah, let's do this. And he's married. So he's like, your stuff's not working. That's cool. It's not working with me. I'm going to go back to my wife. But she was like, well, maybe I'll try something tomorrow. Come here. I'm like, man, see, that's a problem. You don't want to just keep being around the enemy. And then people are not the enemy, but there's sometimes the things we do with these people that can cause hurt to our spirits. Amen. But the devil is trying to lure you to sleep. So you just keep going through those motions. Oh, that's cool. Let's start, you know, hey, calm down on some of that Jesus stuff. Calm down on that talk. And they might even bring somebody that says, hey, if you just do this, you will benefit a lot, right? I remember I always tell people this. When I was selling CDs as a full-time job, that was actually my full-time job for a while. We would go downtown Seattle, and there were some days, some weeks, we would make like $100. And that didn't pay the bills. But when we were struggling, there would always be somebody to be like, man, you guys are good, but if you just take Jesus out, guys will explode. And I just laugh at them. You're funny, bro. Because I knew when it was happening. We could actually sense when it was going to happen. We got to the point where I was like, hey, Che, somebody's going to say that today. And we would just laugh. Yeah. So when it says it, let's just start laughing. And it really would happen like that, because when it was going bad, the enemy was trying to say, listen, man, if you just do it like this, you can. He did the same thing to Jesus. All of these things are mine. All you got to do is surrender to me. And the devil said he would give it to him, but Jesus rebuked him with the word. Amen. So don't allow the enemy to lure you to sleep. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. I'm going to read the rest of this chapter, and then we'll be out of here. Amen. Now, some of y'all said amen too much on that one. Nah, just playing. It's the title of this is The Son of Man, or Jesus, Will Judge the Nations. All right, so it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. He says, for when I was hungry and you gave me food, I'm sorry, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. That's the mission again. See, it's not the fact that Christians are trying to just be great, humane societies and all that stuff. This stuff actually makes a difference. Have you ever been in need and somebody came and gave you something? Do you realize how much you value that person after that? I've said this before. I used to watch those TV shows where Extreme Home Makeover, where these people's houses were messed up. They all filled out this information so that they can possibly be the one on the ballot so that they can come fix their house. And it's paid for them. They don't have to pay for it, right? So these people would come in and refix their whole house up. And one time I saw in the background a statue of Buddha in there. And I was like, dang, that's kind of interesting. Because these people that are doing these things, they have a power of influence now. Right? Now, I don't know whose statue it was. I don't want you to go looking at some of those shows and find out, oh, it was that person. What I'm trying to say is when somebody is in need and you meet that need, your power of influence has grown greatly. That's why the church has to not just be all about us. It is about reaching the community. It is about helping other people. Maybe sometimes, and every church is different, okay? Every church is not called to do the same ministries, okay? But we must be attentive to the voice of God, even in our own lives, to make sure we don't miss how we can impact somebody else. Amen. Verse 37 says, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you do it for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, and an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he said, Then he will answer to them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it for one of these, one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous will, righteous into eternal life. I'm sorry. I was going to say will inherit eternal life. But anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is that's the mission. Everywhere we go, everywhere we are at, let us make sure we treat those people like they could be Christ. Right? Let us be his hands and his feet. And that list is a tough list because I know I failed in some of those. And I thank God for the grace to try again. Right? So we can be a difference. Let's not lose sight of the mission. Amen. Do not lose sight of the mission. Let us focus on Christ and go and do what he's called us to do. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word. I thank you to God that your word is timeless, oh God, that it continues to speak to us, even though we've read these passages, these scriptures before. Dear God, I thank you to God that today will mean something and resonate with us even stronger, oh God. So God, I pray to God that you teach us, that you keep us focused on the mission, despite all that goes on, that we keep our eyes on you. And your word says, your word is a promise. It says you will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our minds and our eyes stayed on you. So God, I pray that you move today in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip up your hand. And everybody asks, hey, I hear all these guys trying to say my stuff now.
The reason why. We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.